say that he tells me and shows me that he loves me a whole lot more than I tell him. But I sure want to be faithful to tell him and mention that I love him. Because he's easy to love. I'm not, but he is. He's wonderful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 27 this morning. I'm a little bit bitter about these baskets they were talking about. Not that we didn't get one, we got one. But all ours had was cigarettes and lottery tickets. And that's not even the problem. The problem is Stormy won't share none of it. And so I'm a little bitter. Now, for all these kids that are looking crazy right now, I'm joking. I'm joking. Now you know. Now you know. Questions have been answered. I lost my voice around the beginning of the year. And I foolishly kept preaching for about 2 weeks. Should have gone home. Finally did. I took the last 2 weeks of January off just to rest. I didn't go anywhere. I only talked to my family a little bit. And so it's slowly coming back. And then I get down here and the pollen. Y'all already got pollen. That ain't right, y'all. So that's got me messed up this morning. But I haven't preached in 3 weeks. This is our first week back on the road. We've done a little singing this week, but I haven't preached in 3 weeks. So I have no idea how this is going to go. So you pray for me. I want to be a blessing. So you please pray for my voice. And then I'm going to do something you're not supposed to do as a preacher, and especially an evangelist. Every preacher knows when you come to a church the first time, especially a camp meeting, you're supposed to preach your sugar stick. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That message you've already preached 10 times. You know it's going to work. You know it's going to get results. Everybody, the altars are going to fill up, and you're going to get invited back. I ain't got one of those this morning. I have never preached this message, but it's something I've been praying on and studying on for the last couple months. So you're the crowd that I'm going to try it out on. So. But it'll be a Bible message. So Genesis 27. Lord, I pray for your touch right now. I need your help. I want to be a blessing to your people. And I pray that your strength would be made perfect in my weakness. In Christ's name, amen. Look at verse number 21, Genesis 27, verse 21. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. I want to preach this morning on the deception of feelings. The deception of feelings. Now let me say, feelings can be a wonderful thing when they're in the right place. God created us with feelings and emotions. Hebrews tells us he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. I'm glad for that. Amen. Paul warns us in Ephesians chapter 4, there's a danger of being past feeling. In other words, you can get so callous and so cold, you don't feel anything. That's a problem. Amen. I mean, I'll be honest with you, most of the Baptists I preach to all year long, they could stand to feel a little more. Amen. Brother Wood touched on it last night while he was preaching. Amen. Our churches have gotten dead and quiet and cold and powerless. Amen. It's about time we got excited about Jesus again. It's time we got, amen, our shout back. Amen. I'm for feeling something. I'm not afraid of feelings. That don't make you charismatic. Amen. But there is a danger. We've got a Bible this morning. God has given you His Word, and this is not the opinions of man. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a fantasy book. It is the Word of God. It is a book of facts. And our behavior and our beliefs, our doctrinal beliefs, they ought to be rooted in the facts of God's Word. And then comes faith. Faith is the realization of the facts. Faith is what helps us to go out here and live out the facts of the Word of God. then feelings should be the results or the response to the faith and to the facts. But our society today, they have no use for the Word of God. So they have no faith in God. And so everything is all about feelings. What makes me feel good? And they say, if it feels good, do it. And we're seeing the results of that. It's destroyed our nation. It's destroyed our young people. Disney's been telling children for almost 100 years now, follow your heart. That is so contrary to the Word of God. The sad thing is, though, is that mentality has now bled over into our churches. And it would be real easy this morning to look at the non-denominational churches with their wild music and wild lights and the way they can. It'd be easy to look at them and point at them and say, you're right, preacher, there's the feeling. That's easy to point out. What's happening is this is happening in our independent Bible-believing Baptist churches where it seems like we're getting away from the book and putting more emphasis on the feelings. Now, I'm preaching to the choir this morning. I realize that. But don't you think that don't you think that even we could not be deceived, that we're above being deceived and given over completely to our feelings? Again, they can be a wonderful thing in the right place. Amen. God made you with feelings, but we've got a Bible. We got a book that needs to be preached. Amen. And we need to have faith that what God tells us in this book, we can go out here and live it. Amen. And if you'll do that, the feelings, they'll fall into place and be what they need to be. So we got to be careful, the deception of feelings. You've got an entire family in Genesis 27 that is operating entirely on their feelings. And it's a mess. So let's just walk through this chapter this morning and just look at Isaac and his family. And we'll start with Isaac. And number one, we see Isaac's discernment. We already read there in verse number 23, where it said, and he discerned him not. In Isaac's old age, his discernment is gone. Isaac was a well digger. I mean, he went out and found water. Isaac is even seen as a type of Christ in Scripture there on Mount Moriah as he was willing to lay down his life if necessary. What a picture of Christ there. But he's not a type of Christ right now. Right here in Genesis 27, he's a type of a worldly, carnal believer who's just operating on feelings. We see Isaac's decline, verse number 1. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. His sight is dim. He's fading. His health, you ladies feel like you're married to that guy. He's been dying for 30 years, but he won't die. That's Isaac. He's in decline. But let me say, when you're dying spiritually, you might not be an old man or older woman. I'm trying to be careful what I say about the ladies. You can be a teenager, 20 years old, 30 years old, or 70 years old. But when you're dying spiritually, you begin to rely more on your feelings than faith. He's an old man. He feels like he's nearing the end of his life, so he's going to place this blessing on his son. He picks the wrong son. I'm in an odd place in my life right now. I'm 43 years old. I'm not an old man. I'm not an old preacher. Now, my daughter Brooke thinks I'm old, and Olivia and Holly, they think I'm old, but they're rebellious heathens. They need Jesus. Amen. I'm not an old preacher, but I'm not the young preacher anymore, Brother Buster. Nobody introduces us anymore as the young preachers. 23 years in the ministry now, a lot of my heroes. Brother Wood mentioned this last night. They're going on. Many of them are in heaven now. Brother Earl Hughes and Willard Thomas and Danny Hall, Brother Don Green, so many others. They've passed on to glory. But here's the weird thing I'm seeing right now. I'm seeing some of the old men that are still alive, but their discernment's gone. Now, we got some old preachers in here. I don't have anybody in mind in this room this morning when I say that. Please don't let the devil put that in your mind. But there are preachers that I've watched that have had the power of God on them, preached with the power of the Holy Ghost, men of wisdom, men that I've had pray over me and my family, and now it seems like they're losing their discernment in their old age. And it doesn't make them any less God's man. I don't believe that, Brother Wood. We can respect them for how God has used them, but it's sad to watch. And that's where Isaac is right here. He's in decline, but we see his desire. Look at verse 3. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. Isaac is a man, he's getting ready to do something that's supposed to be a spiritual thing, but he's controlled by a carnal appetite. All he's thinking about is food. Why don't you go get me some deer meat? We're going to have some deer chili. He's thinking about food. He's being controlled by a carnal appetite. And Paul warned about that in Romans 8:5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Isaac's not operating that way. He's following after his flesh. Isaac thought he could do a spiritual thing in a carnal way. It's not going to work. We saw that, amen, when David wanted to go bring that ark back into the city of Jerusalem. He went to get it from the Philistines, but they said, let's put it on that Philistine cart. Right, right. Let's use the Philistine worldly methods. It didn't work. And it's not going to work for you either, amen. We need spiritual discernment. Listen, maybe you're not a preacher here this morning, but if you're in a marriage relationship, you need spiritual discernment. You're going to end up in a mess. If you're raising children, you need some spiritual discernment. Thank God for good books, parenting books, that's wonderful. But more than that, you need to be led by the Holy Ghost to raise those children. Obviously, if you're a preacher, especially a pastor, we need spiritual discernment. There's only so much a Bible college can give you. Your knowledge of the Bible, it's not going to be enough. Your talent and abilities, it's not going to be enough. Your know-how, it's not going to be enough. Amen. Thank God for Bible college. I learned a lot of good things in Bible college. I'll tell you one class they didn't have, how to pastor a church during a pandemic. You're going to need some spiritual discernment. And we are in another election year, y'all. Amen. You better learn to follow God more than you do the media or any politician. Isaac's discernment, it's gone. But then we see Rebekah's doubt. Rebekah is full of doubt. If you'll notice, hold your place right there and go back to chapter 25. When these boys are born, Jacob and Esau, God gives a word to Rebekah. Chapter 25 and verse 23, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. So Rebekah knows that Jacob is supposed to be the spiritual leader. Rebekah knows that Jacob is going to receive the blessing and not Esau. Now, we could assume that Rebekah told her husband Isaac this information, but the Bible doesn't say that. Every commentator I read said, you know, Isaac's blessing the wrong boy, and he was, but I don't know that it was completely out of disobedience to God's command, because he told Rebekah this, and we're not going to go on an assumption this morning. We know that Rebekah knows what God has said. We don't know that Isaac knows that. So I'll cut Isaac a little slack right there. But Rebekah knows that this is supposed to happen, but she thinks God needs some help. Now, there's something else we need to see before we get into that. Look at verse 5 back in chapter 27. Verse 5, and Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to, watch this, Esau, his son. Verse 6, and Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son. Back in chapter 25, verse 28, and Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now, I'm not saying that Isaac and Rebekah didn't love both their children, but it's very clear from Scripture one of them loved the other more than the other. There's some obvious favoritism going on here. And favoritism amongst children, it's going to cause division between siblings, And it might even cause division between a husband and a wife at some point. Better be careful if you've got more than one child about playing favorites. If you've got one child, amen, that's your favorite. Now, every honest parent will be honest enough to say there are days when you're like, I like that one better than that one today. don't leave me hanging on that. You know it's the truth. But when it becomes a lifestyle, when you introduce your children, this is the athletic one, this is the talented one, this is our smart one. The other two are thinking, we're the dumb ones. And I've heard people do that. And it may be true what you just said, but it should not have been said. Better be careful about playing favorites with your children. That'll cause division. We see Rebekah's manipulation in this thing. She knows that Jacob is supposed to be the one that gets the blessing. But like a lot of Baptists, she thinks the Lord needs her help. Look at verse 6. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I commanded thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth, and thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat and that he may bless thee before his death. Now we saw the Lord's already told Rebekah that Jacob would receive the blessing, but she doesn't trust him to bring it to pass. She has no faith. Her desire, I believe, is legitimate, but her design was not. She's left the path of faith. She's following the path of the flesh, just like Isaac's doing. When we trust our feelings over faith, it's going to lead to manipulation at some point. We feel like, here, I know what God wants to do. I know what He wants to happen, but it's not happening as quick as I think it should or the way I think it should. So I need to get involved. I need to help the Lord. Yeah. We're seeing that in a lot of our church services nowadays. Wow. There is so much emotional manipulation going on in our independent Baptist churches. Especially in a lot of our camp meetings. And I enjoy camp meeting. I like it when it's high. I like it when, Brother Wesley, I like it when we're shouting and running the aisles, jumping. I'm for it. I like it. But I don't like it when a man tries to make it happen. And music is certainly an area where we can get in trouble with that. Music, it should stir us. Man, I mean, if them singing that, did I mention that? I love him. If that didn't stir you, man, something's wrong. There's a fine line between watching the Holy Ghost move and do something in a service and through the music and the singer. There's a fine line between that and then it not being what we think it should be. So we think we got to put our hands on it. And Brother Wesley, I couldn't tell you how many times over the years I've sat at a piano like that went over there. Amen. And you sit there, and it has never happened in this church. This is my first time here. But it's happened places where nothing's happening. And it's very clear it's time to preach, but they don't want preaching. And I couldn't tell you, Brother Buster, how many times a pastor has sat over there, sing another verse of that, Brother Daniel. He's going to sing another verse of that. Some of y'all, you ain't getting it. Some of you need to be on this altar. You need to be shouting. You ain't get sing another verse. And there ain't nothing happening. And there ain't nothing gonna happen. If God's moving and God's in it, I'll sing for 2 hours. There ain't nothing that'll wear a person out more than trying to sing when somebody's trying to stir something up and it ain't happening. That's manipulation. You gotta be careful. You gotta be careful. Singers, we gotta be careful, Brother Wesley. Because we have certain expectations sometimes. So we got to be careful. Preaching. How many times have we gone to the Bible for a message, but our thoughts was, I want a message that'll make them shout. I want a message that'll make them cry. I want that message that'll make them feel sorry and low down and they'll get on the altar and repent. How about we just get a Bible message? Just pray that God will touch you and let the Holy Ghost decide what's supposed to happen. By the way, who decided that we're supposed to shout the last night of every camp meeting? Oh, boy. Brother Aaron, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. May never get to come back, but thank you, brother. And hey, God's in it, man. I'm for it, man. You get somebody like Joe Arthur, Brother Harry Nix back in his day, man. I mean, they could come in. It didn't matter if it was Monday night or Friday night. I mean, you'd shout the place, the roof off the place. I like it. That's what God wants. I'm for it. What if that's not what he wants on the last night of the meeting? What if there's still some lost people that still need to get in? Talking about feelings. Let the Lord determine, I'm going to be a glory preacher. I'm going to be a hard preacher. How about you just be a Bible preacher?
Amen.
Amen. And then that leads to altar calls. We get up and preach this message, and in our mind, we think everybody's going to shout, or we think the altars are going to flood, and then you give the invitation, nobody comes. Here you're preaching, and you thought you were preaching the best message on the planet. I mean, you were already getting ready to sign your own Bible when you got done, and nobody came. So if you're not careful, you know what you do? I'm going to have him play another verse of Have Thine Own Way, Lord, because some of y'all ain't getting it. You ain't getting it.
Yeah. You're so right.
Amen. You'll have him play 50 verses of Have Thine Own Way, Lord. And finally, they'll come just so you'll stop and let them go home. But they ain't no more right than God than when they came in that church building.
Amen.
Because you manipulated the situation. So we see her manufacturing. Look at verse number 14. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. She's manufacturing something here. She's like, you ain't got the hair. So we're going to fix you up. And that's what happens when you start manipulating things. You'll start manufacturing. You'll start trying to make something happen that ain't real. You think that you can just flip a switch and make something happen.
Right.
But God's got a bigger switch, and we'll see that in just a minute. But a spirit of doubt will lead us to practice deceit. How many times have we been in a service as pastors or moderators and it's just not going the way we want it to go? So we start trying to manufacture stuff. You might get something worked up, but it ain't going to be lasting. It'd be like cotton candy, man. It looks cool, it tastes good, but it's gone real quick and it does not satisfy. We see Jacob's deceit. And let me say, I skipped over a couple verses. There's some things we need to notice about Jacob. Verse number 11. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man." You better watch out for them smooth men. I know it's talking about the hair of his arm. I get that. I'm lifting that a little out of context this morning. But you better watch out for them smooth men. You young ladies, you better watch out for them smooth guys.
Yeah.
You'll end up marrying them, amen. They'll get smooth with another woman.
Yeah.
You'd be better off to find you an awkward nerd that loves Jesus and loves you, amen.
Amen.
Than to fool around with them smooth men. You really better watch out for them smooth preachers.
Yeah.
And there's an abundance of them.
Yeah.
Look, I'm all for, man, I don't think a preacher should be sloppy.
Yeah.
I'm all for being sharp. Brother Milford Biddle, that was a sharp old preacher right there. Now, if you never met Brother Biddle, my son, he was sharp, but he wasn't consumed with how he looked.
Right.
He just got up and got dressed and looked sharp. I mean, them pinstripe suits and platform shoes, he was sharp.
Right.
There's a difference between sharp and flashy.
Right.
Flashy says, look at me, I'm here.
Yeah.
You better watch out for them guys. I got a list, I'm not going to do it. I'm preaching to the choir this morning. I got a list, but it might be fringe doctrine, so I will say this, amen, any preacher that lays in a tanning bed, no. Smooth. Have you ever heard these smooth preachers? I mean, they say everything just right. I mean, even the ones that think they're hard preachers, they say what they know the crowd wants to hear and they know it's going to get an amen. They're smooth. I like preachers, amen, that know how to preach under conviction. I'm not talking about being arrogant and being mean just to be mean. I'm not talking about being controversial just to be controversial. We don't need that spirit. Amen. I just appreciate some good Holy Ghost filled Bible preachers. Amen. That by the time they're done, you know what they said, you know what they meant, and you're on an altar saying, I need to get closer to God. Thank God for conviction. Thank God for preachers that aren't afraid to still preach the Bible. Amen. Hallelujah. We need it. But watch out for them smooth ones. He's a shrewd man. Look at verse 12. He said, my father peradventure will fill me, and he did, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. Let me say, if you have a fear of getting caught, that's a good indication you need to stop what you're doing right then and there.
Amen.
But he says in verse 12, I shall seem to him as a deceiver. Well, Jacob, that's exactly what you are. You're being a deceiver. But Jacob was deceived himself long before he deceived his father. And here he's more concerned about what others are going to suppose him to be than what he actually was. I think that goes on in churches all across America every Sunday. People come in, they know what they've done, they know what they are, they know what their problems are, but they put that religious mask on. They put their Sunday best on. They grab that King James Bible. They plop down in their seat and they sit there with the biggest grin. I mean, they get out of the car and, hey, brother, hey, sister, good to see you. Hallelujah. We love Jesus. Bless me, Lord.
Yeah.
And the kids are looking at them like, who are you? Because they heard you cussing each other out 30 minutes ago at the house. They saw you kick the dog. Dad's blowing the horn. But now it's, oh, I love Jesus. You know, you might could get some help. You'll just get honest about who and what you are. Quit worrying about what everybody thinks, amen, and get you some help and get humble and honest before God. You might get you some help. But you're going to have to get honest. Well, I'm worried about what they'll see, what I'll seem to be. He's not worried about the sin. He's only worried about the consequences. He's a subtle man. Isaac tells Esau in verse 35, thy brother came with subtlety. Well, that sounds like the devil.
Yeah.
Look at verse number 18. And he came unto his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? Isaac thought it was Jacob from the start. From the very beginning, he thought it was Jacob. And he continues to doubt. He doubts five times in these verses that it's Jacob. But he continues to go on his feelings. Verse number 19. And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau thy firstborn. That's a lie. I have done according to thou as thou badest me. That's a lie. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison. That's a lie because it ain't deer, it's goat. That thy soul may bless me. I mean, he's telling one lie after another. I mean, in a single breath, multiple lies. Do you know one lie requires another lie to support it?
Right.
Hey, man, Bill and Hillary Clinton know all about that because they've been lying for years.
Yeah, right.
And it's never going to stop till they stand before God at the white throne judgment. Or unless they get saved. I pray they do. You start that business of lying, it's going to, you're going to have to keep going. Verse 20, Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's, but the hands are Esau. Or actually, verse 20, I dropped down to verse 23. Look at verse 20. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Now he's dragging the Lord into his lie. You're getting pretty low when you're bringing the Lord into your lies. Verse 21, Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. There's nothing spiritual, y'all, about what Rebekah and Jacob have done here. You say, but preacher, God has already said it's supposed to happen. Not this way. It was deceitful. It was crooked. So we see Jacob's deceit. Now let's look at Esau's denial. Esau comes in. He starts letting his feelings drive him. Verse 33. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me, and I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him? Yea, and he shall be blessed." Well, Isaac's realization right here, you know what? Isaac acted in the flesh, but God overruled him. Because God can do that. Again, you may think you can live a carnal lifestyle. You can do whatever you want to do, get into sinful practices with no repentance whatsoever. And you think you can walk into the camp meeting and just shout her out and put on a big show and flip a switch and try to make something happen. You might do it for a while, but I'm telling you, God's got a bigger switch. Amen. He'll shut you down. We see Esau's remorse here. Look at verse 34. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." And he said, "Thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing." Now, these tears of Esau, they're not tears of repentance. They're tears of regret. And there's a difference between regret and repentance. He wanted the blessing, but he didn't want to be the kind of man that God could bless. How many times have we heard them old preachers we was talking about get up and preach with that anointing and the power of God all over them? And we say, "I want what the old preacher has." Well, are you willing to be clean? Are you willing to be holy? Are you willing to suffer? Because I promise you, them old preachers you heard that preached in the power of the Holy Ghost, they'd done some suffering in their lives so that God could put his hand on them. By the way, it's worth the suffering, but it don't come cheap. Esau is someone who attempts to use God instead of God using him. I remember several years ago, Brother Buster, you may have been there. We was at Shady Acres, and Brother Farley got up and made this statement. He said, "A lot of y'all get down on this altar and pray for the power of God so you can get up and put on a good show." Yeah. I was like, "Ooh, that'll make you check your motives. Why do I want the power of God on my life? Is it just so I can impress the brethren? Or so I can be close to God and be a help to my brethren?" I hope that's our heart this morning. We see Esau's resentment. Look at verse 36. And he said, "Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing." That's not entirely true. He took away my birthright. No, Jacob didn't steal anything from Esau. Now, I'm not justifying what Jacob did a couple chapters back. I'm not justifying what he did. He was dirty and low down. But it was a swap. He didn't steal that birthright. Esau gave it up. How many times have we heard young ladies say something like this? "That boy, he took my virginity. He stole my virginity." Did he take you by force? Because if that's not the case, he didn't take that. You gave it up. Well, that got quiet. But you want to be the victim in the situation. But you're not. You were a willing participant. Now, he may have deceived you. He may have been smooth and subtle and slick. But you gave in to your fleshly desires. And that's what Esau did. Esau gave in to his hunger over honor. This blessing, now he's taking my blessing. He wasn't going to be the spiritual leader. He's in denial. And then let me say lastly, and I'm done, we see a family that's divided. In verse 41, you'll see Esau's resolve. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. He said, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. Jacob's retreat in verse 42, and these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah, and she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise. Flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran. Rebekah must have had one of them modern versions of the Bible that said, God helps those that helps themselves. Yeah. Don't you love them truths that are always preached, but they ain't in the Bible? Fact is, the Lord, he helps those who come to the end of themselves. Rebekah just keeps getting it wrong. Verse 44. And tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away. Those few days turned into 20 years. And it was during that 20-year time span that Jacob is gone that Rebekah died and she never saw Jacob again. So we see Rebekah's regret in verse 46. And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? Now she's full of regret. I mean, we do find, I won't get into verse or chapter 28, but we do find where Isaac finally rightly blesses Jacob, and that's why Hebrews 11 says that Isaac by faith blessed Jacob. He did finally get it right. That ought to give hope for some of us. You might do something so wrong, but you can get it right. Now, there still may be some regrets along the way. Still may be some reaping, but you can get right with the Lord. But here Rebekah is, she never gets to see Jacob again. She's stuck with these Canaanite daughter-in-laws that she can't stand. And she's got a husband that's constantly saying he's dying, and he buries her. How would you like to have that, ladies? Daughter-in-laws you can't stand, and a husband that every day, I'm dying, baby. Today's the day, I'm dying. You want to be married to that guy? He's dying every day for 43 years. I'm talking about division, and it didn't have to be that way. But everybody went on their feelings. They're not acting in faith. It's just feel your way through this thing. Whatever, if it feels good, say it. If it feels good, do it. That will destroy your marriage. It will destroy your relationship with your children. It's destroying churches all over America today. Brother Wood hit it last night. Look, man, I ain't preaching against you having social media, but if you don't see that social media has been a problem the last 15 years, however long it's been, my goodness, get your head out of the sand and wake up. So many churches have been divided and destroyed over people putting their feelings out on Facebook and Instagram, whatever it is, because you're following your feelings. Now listen, if we'll get rooted in the facts of this book, and if we'll have faith to trust God and His will and to live this book out, then the feelings will be just right. And we can enjoy them. We can enjoy the blessings of God. Amen, preacher.
It's good preaching for us.